Hi everyone, we are continuing the book of Haggai, and we'll be looking at Haggai chapter 2, verses 10 through 19. On the 24th day of the ninth month in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet. Thus says the Lord of hosts, ask the priest about the law. If someone carries holy meat in the fold of his garment and touches with his fold bread or stew or wine or oil or any kind of food, does it become holy? The priest answered and said, no. Then Haggai said, if someone who is unclean by contact with a dead body touches any of these, does it become unclean? The priest answered and said, it does become unclean. Then Haggai answered and said, so it is with this people and with this nation before me, declares the Lord, and so with every work of their hands, and what they offer there is unclean. Now then, consider from this day onward, before stone was placed upon stone in the temple of the Lord, how did you fare? When one came to a heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When one came to the wine vat to draw 50 measures, there were but 20. I struck you and all the products of your toil with blight and with mildew and with hail, yet you did not turn to me, declares the Lord. Consider from this day onward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, since the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider, is the seed yet in the barn? Indeed, the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree have yielded nothing. But from this day on, I will bless you. So in this passage, God asked these questions of his people through Haggai. He asked them, if you carry holy meat and then touch other food, does that other food become holy? And the answer is no, it doesn't. And then in the part after that, verses 13 and 14, if someone who is unclean touches that kind of food, does that food become unclean? Yes. Yes, it does, is what the priests say. Now, why is God going into this? What God is getting into here is, what God is inferring is that in the first situation, right, he's saying just because you're doing something that's holy, right, there's this holy stuff, right, like this holy meat and the garment from a priest. Just because you're doing the holy rituals, it doesn't make other things holy. And so what God's getting at is that just because you're doing this worship stuff, maybe going through the motions of stuff, it doesn't make other things like better necessarily just because you're doing those things. There's not like a law of transitive properties that just because I'm like worshiping God in this situation, at least worshiping on the outside, it doesn't mean that it transfers over to other things. But in the second situation, it does. The law of transitive property does apply. Because you are unholy or unclean, it makes other things unclean. What God is doing here is he's calling his people out. Perhaps there was this wrong belief within them that their religious practices, their worship, whatever in the temple, they thought maybe that just made other things better. Or maybe they thought like that could be set because of that, like made everything good. But what God is saying instead is, no, your sinful behaviors, your sinful nature, that in a sense infects everything. It makes everything you touch or do unclean. That's why he says they only, like what they offer to God, right? The offering they bring to God is unclean. The works of their hands are unclean. And so with that, God says, consider. He says it twice here. And it's I think a really important word in this book is consider what's going on. Consider what's going on in your lives before. He wants them to reflect. And what he tells them is like, think about your lives, how they were before. Right now, this is before they started rebuilding the temple. He's talking about the futility of their lives. He said they would like measure out 20 measures of like grain, that someone would come to it, and then it's like 10. And then also God tells like he would strike them with mildew, blight, hail. And even in the midst of all the futility of their lives, like how hard things were, they were not turning to God. They were failing to turn back to God. Their lives remained unclean. So that's why God's calling them out. But I love how this passage ends. God is saying all the stuff he's going through like these rhetorical kind of questions to lead them in a certain place to show them how like unclean and unholy their lives are. And he shows the futility of that. But in verse 19, at the end, he says, "But from this day on, I will bless you." Now, this is in the context of them now having come back to rebuilding God's temple. They are refocusing as a people, their hearts and their minds, their souls, upon God's house. And God says, "I'm going to bless you. You may have failed. You may have struggled. You failed to even turn to me. But I'm going to bless you. As you draw near to me, as you focus your hearts and your minds upon God's house, on my house, God is saying, I will draw near to you." And what an encouragement that is. As you think about our lives, we are often stuck in these cycles of futility, right? Where we're focusing on ourselves, on our own houses, on our own lives, all these things that we're like doing in our own lives. And I think, you know, we deserve judgment. We deserve judgment for being unclean and sinful, to not focus on God's, on the work of God and on his kingdom. But there's this hope that God is saying, "I will still bless you if you just turn to me." So I'm not sure where all of our lives are, and I know for myself at least that there's some hard times over the past few months, especially in the midst of this pandemic. But as I, even just on the slightest bit, as I focus on God, strive to refocus on God, there's this promise that God is going to say, is saying to me, and he's saying to all of us, is that from this day on, I will bless you. As you turn to me, I will bless you. Let us thank God for such grace, and let's pray that we will focus upon him. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your amazing grace. We ask for forgiveness for the ways that we feel like our, you know, religious practices can save us or like give us some sort of like, you know, positive in the balance for us, Lord. Forgive us for that and help us to recognize that our unclean hearts make everything unclean. But we thank you, Jesus, that you came to make things new and to make us clean, to bring forgiveness and hope to us, God. And I pray that as we depend upon you, Jesus, as we live for you and live with you, God, that we will experience the blessings of God. We thank you for such grace, Lord. May we live in that grace this day. We thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.